There's a scripture in Hebrews. It's Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 6. I'm going to read 6 and 7. To start this off, just to... it isn't really where the message really is, but it kind of steps us into it. It says this, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. But one in a certain place testified, saying that, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of your hands. Now that's a pretty powerful thing when you consider that. There's a lot of things that you can see in this, and one of the things is that angels at this point are more powerful than men and women, right? There is an unseen world where the beings in that word have more power than we do as people, right? They're more powerful. They can see things, understand things, and have a power that can move on people, that persuade people, even, right? They have a power. There's a physicality that can happen with this as well. Now, I say this to say that last week we talked about fear in the context of God has an agenda. God has a plan, and we want to connect into God's will. Not our own, not somebody else's. Well, Satan has a will too, and Satan is against God. One of the things that Satan wants to do is to have people believe that he isn't even there, that this is just a world that evolved and there's no real rhyme or reason to it, and you know, it's just a crapshoot, and just throw your hands up in the air, and who cares anyway? I'm just going to get whatever I can get out of life, and then it's all over, and that's the end of it. And then people that have that kind of mind frame are going to live according to that mind frame, right? And so the enemy wants to get us there. One thing that I can say about this enemy is he is a bully. He bullies us. He has the power to bully us. Now, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have God, who is way out beyond more stronger than what the enemy is, what our enemy is. And so, therefore, when we're in him, we have the ability to put him where he belongs. Right? I remember when I was a kid, there was this guy, his name was Bobby Myers. And old Bobby, he liked to bully people. And one day we were, the little neighborhood where I lived, we would get together, and we'd have soccer games in the evenings in the summertime. And I always look forward to that because I love soccer. And we had these little games, and after the game, this one night, Bobby decided he was going to pick on my brother. And you know how that is when a bully is bullying and it's not you or somebody that you're really close to, you can kind of stay away from it. You kind of avoid it. But and that happens in life. We get... we have things that happen in our lives, and we tend to avoid certain things, but sometimes you can avoid. You cannot avoid the conflict. Well, so after the game, and this guy, you know, Bobby starts picking on my brother and one of my brothers, and of course I can't let him do that. You know, he's grabbing him and throwing him to the ground. He was 5 years older than my brother. And you know, usually with bullies, they're bigger, they're a little stronger. You don't want to do anything, but you know, sometimes you're just forced into doing that. Well, and I stepped in, and there was a fight. One of the very few I ever had in my life. And there was a fight. I actually had to swing at this guy. Knock him down. Get on top of him. I quit. And I got up, and I start to walk away. And as soon as my back was to him, he grabbed me and tried to throw me down and tried to do stuff. And I got back on top of him again and subdued him. And okay. So I figured that was the end of that. You know, he had been humiliated twice. And I got up and I started to walk away with my brother. And he came back again. And I want to say this about the enemy. He is unrelenting. This is Mother's Day. Do you think he's going to leave us alone? He doesn't. There's nothing that stops him from, no matter what our plans are, what we want in life. He's there to kill, rob, and destroy. He hates us. What do you think of a person who you know hates you with utter hatred, wants to really kill you if he can? You know that maybe you can avoid for a while, but if someone is unrelenting, you're going to have to stand up to that. Now, it was really interesting, because when I was getting this message, I thought, I can't say this on Mother's Day. And yet, Diane talks about battlefield, you know? And the thing that we need to do is to pray. Our prayer life needs to be up. I would tend to say that every single one of us in here probably has realized that there's been a tremendous amount of spiritual battle that's been going on for a number of weeks now.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
More so than normal.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's battle, and then there's a little time off, and then there's battle. But you know, we're in the midst of something. And this is what drives me crazy sometimes, is I can't get my finger right on what it is exactly. I know I'm in something. I know it doesn't smell good, but there I am. And I need to find out what is going on, find out what I need to do. Well, there is one thing I need to do, that any of us need to do whenever there is something that's going on that is pressing up against the will of God in our life, and that is to pray.
Yeah.
We think that's real simple. Churches in America, not all of them, of course, but many churches are looking for some special displays, and yet, you know, it's the very foundation of our walk with God, that and our dependence on God, that we pray to Him. Right?
Yes.
God is our protector. God is our refuge and our strength. Right? Our very present help in trouble, as the song goes. And the song goes. So, we know that when we are trusting in Him and relaxed in Him, we are going to have an ultimate victory in the situation that we're in life. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So, I'm starting out talking about the angelic realm, because that is really where our battle is. And what Diane was saying about, if we If we keep it at his level where we're not even acknowledging that he finds ways to get at our heads, to do things to people, to create situations that are going to be a problem to us, that are going to try to rob our joy and our and everything about us, then we don't even know we're in that game. At what we are. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the advantages of really turning to Christ, being born again, being awakened to the realm of the Spirit, realizing that not only is there a loving God in the realm of the Spirit, but there is an enemy that's there too. There's an enemy, your enemy. Now you think about that word for a minute. I know it's a little unpleasant, and especially on Mother's Day, because you don't want to think about that. But for some reason, God brought this up, and he confirmed it through Diane to me, that there's something here for us to realize. I don't know what's out ahead for this week. But we need to be recognizing that our battle isn't with flesh and blood. We're battling in a spirit realm. And if we're trying to do it on our own, without the help of God, without relying on him, without even understanding that we're in a battle, that things just happen in life. If we think that things just happen in life, there's reasons why certain things occur, happen to us. And some of those reasons are what are the schemes, the plans of an enemy of yours and mine. We've got to realize this. We can't say, people are in Vietnam, during the Vietnam War, they're on leave. They go into town. Do they now not have to worry about anything? No, you gotta be wary. You gotta be on guard, don't you? It's important that we don't drop our guard here. God is the one who keeps us, the one who protects us. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And yet he's there and he does a lot of protecting, but sometimes we step way out away from his will. And then we're out there dangling on our own, right? Mm-hmm. So just be aware of that this week, please. There's something in what the Lord wants to say to us here. All right, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm not going to read it all. You know this scripture pretty well. Ephesians 6. And it says this, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the battlefield is our mind. Everything about our behavior starts with a thought. Right? Sometimes we get thoughts that come in and they're coming, like in verse 16, where there's a fiery dart. There's a thought that is shot into our brain, and it's coming from the enemy. The enemy's speaking to our spirit. Yeah? And he says certain things. That person said that to hurt you. You think that, right? You think, why did that person say that? What's he trying to say there? And get you on a roll, yeah? Mm-hmm. Get you to open up to that thought, that fiery dart, And then it can take you someplace where you don't really want to go or should go. Isn't that right? So there's these darts that he throws, and that's important for us to realize, because the enemy is going to try to make us feel depressed, unwanted. I go down the negative list, and you've got, you know, this is what the enemy does to us. Isn't that right? All right. So I want to get into. Let's just look at this first, and then I'm going to get into the main part of it. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 5. This is just to establish something. Whether you want to be or not, if you are a Christian, you are a soldier of Christ. Whether you want to be or not, you've been drafted. There's no getting out of this. And it says here, therefore, verse 3, 2 Timothy 2:3, therefore, endure hardness or hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he might please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned, except that he strive by the rules. So there's a particular order of things. There's particular rules of warfare. We've talked about this before. I'm not going to go into that again. But what I want us to see with what we're reading here is that we are soldiers. We have a duty. There's going to be, as we go down through this, words that have a military kind of sound to it. But this is who we are. Now, you might not like the military. You might not like certain things about warfare, and you and I want to stay away from that. We like to avoid that. But just like with bullies, at some point in time, we've got to face that. And you know what? It seems to me like it's almost every day, because the enemy's coming at our minds. The enemy does a few things. He tries to tempt us to do certain things. And then there's the discouragement and all those other things. And he has this big bag of tricks the wiles of the enemy. He has a big bag of tricks that being stronger, more intelligent than us, he can see where our weaknesses are. He goes after us. He knows exactly what to do. And it's really about time that we come up to the party, because I think we've been hit from all sides lately. Now, if somebody came up to you and smacked you in the head, should I do it to one of you guys? No, you know, I wouldn't do that because I'd get smacked back. Right? You're not telling me to slap you up, upside the head. And then do it again. And then do it again. And this is what's been going on with us as individuals and with us as a church. We've been getting slapped upside the head. And we're all, I'm supposed to take it and I'm going to learn something from it. And all that's true to some degree. But, you know, we need to step up to the plate and say, enough is enough. Right? Oh, now you're quiet. Jesus tells us that we need to bind things in the earth, and we also need to loose things in the earth. We need to say no, bind it, bound it up, say that's the end of that, and we need to loose other things. The negative we bind, the positive we loose. That which God wants, we lose. God, I pray for spiritual energy for myself, for you today, that we don't just bog down because Malcolm's saying all these words and most of them are going past my ears. And I, you know, what time is Mother's Day meal? You know what I'm saying here? This is what can happen. So I lose the spiritual energy, God, from you. I can't do it, but you can. And so when I pray, and when we lose things on earth, or we bind things on earth, we're doing that in the name of the Lord Jesus, right?
Yes.
And I think we forget that we can do these kinds of things. God gives us this, and we just kind of get slapped around in certain things. There's some things that are happening that are teaching a deeper lesson to us, and we have to suffer through things, and we have to endure, and we have to persevere. I'm not saying that we're supposed to be spoiled children, that we just snap our finger and God does whatever we want. Please don't get that idea. There's a balance in what I'm trying to say here. But there's a lot of things that we're obtuse to that we shouldn't be. That we should say, wait a minute here. There's been a lot of these things going on. I bind this attack on people's minds that want to bring them down into the dirt. Do you think that God wants you to be there? I don't think so. And so when we notice that, was it yesterday? No, it was this morning. This morning, I'm putting together the word, and I thought, I think I'll type it up this morning. I think I'll just type up the message this morning. And so I get on, bring up the Microsoft Word program. That wonderful program. And
with spell check everything.
And I get this message. There is a problem with your Microsoft, with the Word program. We're going to have to shut it down. Now, I've had this happen before. And I had to get Jolinda to come and fix it. And so it's been a number of months, but here that darn thing has popped up again. I was a little man. On a stupid little thing like that. And, you know, with what's going on in this world, I'm upset about that. The other thing is that, you know, my reaction is not where it should be, right? I need to trust God. What happens when? All right, so that happens. The enemy throws a little dart into my mind. You're not going to be able to teach in the fall because your program is going to be all messed up, and you might as well not even teach at the college anymore. Just, you know how thoughts go? You get one dart, and then that leads to something else that is negative, and then there's something more negative that comes after that. And if you follow that line of thought, you're down in some ditch someplace. Well, thank goodness I was putting this message together and I was able to catch this a little faster than I normally did. Normally I hit rock bottom. But but the Lord wants, we've talked about this a lot, since the battlefield is in the mind, then we need a transformation of our mind. We need a mind that's renewed, that doesn't think like the world thinks, that doesn't think the way it used to. That there's stepping into that realm of spiritual battle when it's needed, And to have wisdom when we need something instead of an emotional reaction. And there's not one single person in here that doesn't need to hear this. I felt pretty safe bringing this message. That most people, some people aren't going to really need this. No, everybody needs this.
Yeah.
I know I do.
All right.
So, I used this scripture last week when we were talking about the will of God and God's agenda, God's plans for things. Would you turn to Romans chapter 12? Just want to emphasize something here. You know what? What are the guidelines of your thinking? The way that you approach life, and you approach your job, and you approach relationships, and all of that. What is that based on? You know, is it based on truth? Is it based on the will of God? Is it based on the guidelines that God has in the scriptures that are there? See, because God, in His plan, is for us to live a good life and to live life in that more abundantly. Isn't that what He wants?
Yes.
See, that's what God wants. He wants the very best for us. As a good parent, He wants the best for His children. Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
All right, so here we have a guidebook that helps us. That's why we emphasize reading this, because the guidelines about how to approach situations and who God is and what He expects and what his character is that we can emulate through giving our hearts to Him. This is what this is all about. It's not a religion that we're talking about here. We're talking about living life and living it more abundantly. And all the people that want freedom from God to go off and do things on their own, they think that they're going to have all this freedom, and they're bound up by all the dark thoughts, the dark approaches that mankind and the enemy have taken them down, and they think they have freedom when they're bound. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to have to do what God tells me to do. I want to do what I want to do. That person is more bound than you or I, who are looking to submit to the will of God, because God, in His purpose, wants to free us from the chains that bind us and ultimately bring us to hell. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
He wants the very best. This is a good father. He's a good father. And it says here, I haven't read this yet, have I?
No.
See, I don't even remember it. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't think like the world thinks about things. Yeah, I mean, you could give me some examples, couldn't you? How does the world think about things? Give me an example. Anyway. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just talking to one of the parents in my softball team about this. She was thanking me for my influence on her daughter and the team. And she was apologizing that her daughter couldn't make it to Thursday's game because she was getting a degree. And graduating, she really wanted her daughter to be there. But we went off on this tangent about how the world expects us to have these degrees in order to be able to make a difference or to be held to a higher esteem. And it was just interesting. It was the first time that she had ever mentioned God to me, so it was really enlightening. But what she said was that she didn't do it because the world expected her to, but because for her it was something she was striving for after a divorce, and just that she finally found the revelation as to why she did it. You know what I mean? And so I confessed to her that one of my struggles has always been that you know, I care about people and I want to make a difference in their lives, but there's often times at work where I'm told, like, okay, but who told you to do that? Like, did someone, a professional, tell you that that was okay? And yeah. I know I've had to learn that God equips us for, you know, certain things, yeah. and it's a worldly view that you need to have all these degrees.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying degrees are a bad thing, but it's just, it's been a stronghold on my mind yeah. for many years because I didn't have the financial means to, and the support system, yeah. you know what I mean, to get the degrees that I would love to get. But
And the things that we're talking about, this battleground in the mind, you're not gonna find a degree that's really gonna help you outside of the guidelines that are right here.
Amen.
You can have, you know, there's good things about education and degrees and all of, you know, and you're not coming against that. So that's a good thing. But when the Spirit of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is left out of the picture, you're missing a big component, right? You're missing the very heart of what any of that psychological, social knowledge can do for you. You don't have the power to do it. You know, you can... You, I was watching something. I'm trying to learn something, how to do something, and you watch it on YouTube, and you see how this person's doing it, and you go, oh man, now I know how to do that. Right? I know how to do that now. Now go out and practice, and I start to practice this particular thing. Geez, it's a little harder than that guy made it look here real easy. You know? So, things are not the way they seem sometimes. All right, so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to try to bring this to the right conclusion. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So it says here, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. There's a decent amount of scriptures that talk about how we have to battle. That we have to actual fight. You're fighting in your mind for a victory over a particular sin, over a temptation, over a feeling, over many of the different kinds of darts that get thrown at you. Right? And this is what he says here. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, I have been amazed at the number of strongholds that have a hold of me. I thought I was a pretty darn good Christian. Numbers of years ago. I thought, man, I'm sailing right along. I'm doing pretty good. And then God starts to show me some areas of my life. And I go, man. You know one big area? I've mentioned this recently. Food. Oh, man. That can really do you in. I've lost a number of pounds, and I felt really good about that, and I thought, well, I got victory there, and I can have this now, and I can have that now, and now I've gained a few pounds back, and I thought, this is not good. I thought that I had the victory, that I had won that battle. You know, it's constant. The enemy is unrelenting. Our flesh is unrelenting. And if we excuse things where God wants to do something in our life, I better say this before I forget it. I forgot it. when a bully is stronger than you, and you're going to stand up to that bully, sometimes you go, this isn't worth it. I know who's going to win. It's going to be him. Right? When you see a bigger, stronger person, sometimes we don't even want to enter into the battle because the battle looks too big for us.
Yes.
Fight dirty.
Right? What's that?
Fight dirty.
Yeah. So, because it's not a physical battle that I'm talking about today, because it's a spiritual battle, even though there are strong things, strong strongholds. When we talk about strongholds, this isn't something that you can just puff away with one little stroke. You understand that? It's a stronghold. It has a grip on you. And though you might push against it a little bit, it's going to take constant pressure to break that stronghold. And you and I have to realize that's part of the battle, is to endure through seeing something through to the end. So, I was thinking today, man, I've gained back a few pounds. And then I started feeling discouraged. Oh, what's the use? Now, where did that thought come from? That came from an enemy that wants me to become a big fat slob again. So I feel depressed about myself. Or just give up on different things. Because when you give up on one thing, it's easier to give up on something else in your life too, isn't it? It becomes an easier thing. And God wants He calls us soldiers. You know, soldiers are disciplined. Well, they're supposed to be. Right?
Yes.
He wants us to be disciplined. And you go, oh, gee, I don't want to do that. I just want to do what I want to do. I want to eat what I want to eat. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I this, and I that, and I this. And then all of a sudden, it's not about, we can say all we want. Oh, so whatever you want, God. But I want my butterfinger. Whatever you want, God. But I need this, or I need that. Right? You understand what I'm saying? And we're talking about really little things here. And we're coming to the end of an age where things are going to be way worse, and you're tired of probably hearing me say this over and over again. But God, one thing that God does in order to be a refuge for us, in order to be a protector of us, is He warns us. He gives us enough time and says it enough times for us to understand, hey, I better get myself ready for these things. And one of the things is going to be a disciplined mind.
Yes.
You know, I wonder how many people that, and I'm not coming against this now, people that love looking at that phone, and they're on that phone all the time, and they're texting. I can't even do what they do with their thumbs. How do you do that as fast as you do it? Anyway, you know, if that was taken away like that, oh my gosh, I think a lot of people would go into meltdown. And we're just talking about a little phone. But that becomes, you see what's going on here, and the enemy's done this a lot in our brains. Oh, I need that. I need that. I rely on that. You know? Well, have you thought what you would do without that? Can you pray to God and say, God, please help me that if my wonderful cell phone gets destroyed and I have to wait a week before I can get another one, that please get me through that week. I'm being sarcastic. But do you understand what I'm saying? If that's the case, and then this world starts falling apart, there's a World War III set. And there's all kinds of devastation that happened. Oh, that can't happen here. Not in America, because I don't want it to happen. I got plans. I got all these things that have to happen. But don't go telling me, don't give me this on Mother's Day, please. And yet, the enemy's at work to do what he can do. Isn't he?
Yes.
So let's just be aware, you know, mix this all in. Have a wonderful Mother's Day, mothers. And you know, you're going to. You will. Because we can rely. We have a refuge. We have a strong tower. Right? So we can take all of this in the context of what God wants to say to us. Parse it all out the right way. Take it. Not be fearful. But grab a hold of what the Lord wants to say to us this week. Because moms are sure protective of their families. Aren't they?
Yes.
And God is protective of us. And he's going to warn us, and he's going to equip us, and he wants us to be ready for the things that are happening, and he wants us to be disciplined as a soldier of Christ. And that discipline is going to be up here first. We'll talk about the body some other time. But I think he wants our bodies in shape too, doesn't he? Not as much affirmation there. No, right? Yes.
Okay. All right. So, I think I just have one more scripture, and I'm going to check it out first to make sure I wrote it down right.
Yeah. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says this. It's talking about us. And it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. And now the word kept means to be guarded, to be protected. So we are protected by the power of God through faith unto a salvation that will be revealed in the last time. Now, Jesus brought us an eternal salvation. There is more than eternal salvation. There's salvations that deal with saving ourselves from ourselves. It's the salvation of our soul. God working his work in us as we mortify the deeds of the body. We're now no longer subject to being controlled by fleshly appetites. And as we give those over to God, that part of our soul finds some salvation. It finds rescue, doesn't it? You understand what I'm saying here? Salvation is not just I'm going to go to heaven. That is. But it's not the only thing that salvation can be. Salvation is a thing about going to heaven and eternal salvation. But then, you know, we can be saved physically from things that happen in this life, right? Yes?
Yes.
We're saved from that. We use the word saved, right? You understand? There's different levels of what he means. I wonder what that salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time is all about. Because I don't think it's referring back. Peter's saying this after Jesus' resurrection, right? There's something grand coming up ahead of time here at the end of the age. I can't wait to find out what that's all about. But it says, we are guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
So, Lord, I just pray that today, Mother's Day, that as a mother protects her children, and as a father protects the family, that, Lord, we know that you protect us, that we have nothing to fear. We thank you, Lord, today. We know that the battlefield is in our mind. The transformation of our mind comes from you. And we know how unrelenting the enemy is. And so, Lord, help us to engage in any of the fight, and let us enjoy those other times. Father, we love you. You're with us forever. You are our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. Thank you, Lord, today. Amen.